Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Craig Lachlan will join the show at 12:45 post-Meridian, talking some puck here at the All-Star break for the Capitals. Get into some of the Super Bowl matchups, who you're pulling for in the 12 o'clock hour as well. But now, right now, it is time to go to the hotline and talk to our pal, Lorenzo Alexander. Zo, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I'm doing real well. Just out here in AZ now.
And you're waking up so early just for us. Grant is out this week. Pete is in. Want to get all this stuff out of the way here. Let's start talking about these teams that have made the Super Bowl. Totally different construction, right? So, I mean, you think about Kansas City, prolific offense. San Francisco, they can hang on offense, but to me it's that defense that makes them special. I want to start in Kansas City, though. Just give me your overall impression of this group and just how sophisticated what they do on offense.
I don't know if they're sophisticated at all, but I know this. I know they execute at a very high level. Obviously, the first couple of games, the last couple of games in the playoffs, they kind of got off to a slow start. But once Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are kind of fell into their groove and rhythm, they've been able to really pick apart the defenses and really execute at a high level, put up a multitude of points that's really allowed them to control the game. And so it's been really impressive what they've done. And they just have so many weapons where they can hit you with. Kelce, Watkins, obviously Mahomes, and what he's able to do when he scrambles and extends the play to be able to throw the ball downfield. And haven't even mentioned Tyreek Hill yet, who had an explosive game last week as well. And so it's just hard to match up against them. It's hard to – who do you take away? Do you double somebody? You play split safety? When you do that, you take away the run game opens up, and then you have to worry about Patrick Mahomes, you know, running around back there because he is athletic enough to make a big play with his legs as well.
Lorenzo, San Francisco obviously loves to drop as many people back as they possibly can. They don't blitz a lot. A guy like Mahomes, if your front four doesn't get to him, you mentioned it earlier, he can keep so many plays alive. Is that where the real danger becomes as he makes a play kind of off schedule because of all of the great weapons that they send out there on every play?
Yeah, and it makes the defensive backfield, it stresses them out. I mean, because obviously the longer he holds the ball, the longer you have to try to lock down a guy like Kelce or Tyreek Hill who can, and it becomes backyard football where now you don't know what's going on and you have to react to a play, and that can be stressful at times. And I think this is where this 49er defense can maybe put that in check a little bit because of their front four, really, but their front seven is dominant. Just how those guys are so athletic, they get after the passer, and they do a lot of things well, and that's why San Francisco 49ers doesn't feel like they have to blitz all the time because of their front four. And so they affect the quarterback in multitude of ways. It's not just about sacks, but hitting the quarterback, making him feel uncomfortable, and just getting after him. There was one play in the game with the Niners versus the Packers where Bosa closed in on Aaron Rodgers. He didn't hit him, but he closed in on him so quickly that I know it had to speed up Aaron because his big body coming at him about to take his head off, and the pass was off key. So they do it in a very multitude of ways with that front four, and I'm excited to see this matchup and how they attack each other.
Lorenzo Alexander with us here, Grant and Danny, Pete in for GP this week. Zo, you guys were no slouches yourself on defense in Buffalo this year, and I'm just sort of thinking about kind of their different ways to butter the bread, right? I mean, you think of those Giants defenses that won the Super Bowl a couple times where they had that great front four. Carolina gets the Super Bowl with that great front four. San Francisco's kind of got that as well. Is that something where you know in the room as you guys are kind of putting together a great defense, hey, if we've got these four guys that let us all just sort of run around and cover, it's that much better. Right. And then versus maybe times on defenses you've been on where it's not that way. Walk us through the contrast there.
Yeah. I mean, well, definitely. I mean, the most important person on the field at all times is the quarterback. And the object is to impact him and affect him, the best you can. And if you have a defensive line that will allow you to attack him and get him off his spot and hit him and make him feel uncomfortable, most of the way, like you mentioned, the Giants did. I would also throw in there the Denver Broncos led by Von Miller, where you just can't – he doesn't get comfortable. He doesn't get in his rhythm. And you saw what that did to Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks of our era. He just couldn't get to a rhythm, especially, you know, early on in the game, you know, doing things that were uncharacteristic. So you may get a early turnover with an interception. You may get a strip sack fumble. And all those things where you can affect the quarterback and take possessions away from them is going to definitely boost your chances of your team winning. And so from a defense standpoint, as a defensive coordinator, if I know I don't have to blitz, that means I can double Kelsey, or I can maybe cheat a safety over the top of Tyreek Hill. And I don't have to really worry about, maybe the run game as much, because I can defend it with a 6-man box, 7-man box because of my defensive line. And they can almost, each guy can take a gap and a half because they also dominate. You saw that with Bosa and also Armstead and some other guys up front where their gap is technically the C-gap, but they're so athletic, they're beating tackles and going inside and making a tackle for loss versus the run game. And then, you know, and then in the pass game, they're just being very active, very productive. They have a great scheme as far as how they play off each other, and have been able to impact quarterbacks at a high rate.
So it's a statistical anomaly, but 4 of the 5 Super Bowls played down there at Hard Rock Stadium, kickoff returns for touchdowns. Mecole Hardman, a guy that at any time for Kansas City can take it the distance. In a game like this, how much can a player like him, and we've seen it in the past, we saw Desmond Howard do it in a Super Bowl, how can a player like this really affect the game, even though he may only get 2 or 3 touches, depending on how this game goes?
Right. Well, you know, special teams sets people up. They're the body punchers, and at times, if you have an elite player, you can really change the trajectory of the game. But, you know, at the same time I say that, you know, I also think about Hester in Chicago when he took the opening kickoff back and they lost. And so, obviously, he's going to be able to set the momentum with some big plays, some hidden yardage in field position. But then Kansas City has to be able to sustain and finish those drives off and defensively be able to come out and stop the 49ers as well. So, yeah, it's a great big play wonder, but you have to be able to consistently hold that momentum. And so that's what I would love to see as this game plays out. How do they, once a team captures the momentum, are they able to sustain it and they really dominate the game as the game plays out?
So you didn't play against Mahomes, right? You guys played Kansas City a couple years ago before he was the starter, right?
Right, yeah. We got Alex Smith.
Right, so, but just let's go into Andy Reid's system as you guys are preparing to figure out. You mentioned the weaponry. I mean, it's you got to pick your poison. How do you best attack that? Is it you rotate who you're taking away, or do you have like a theme the entire game? Kind of walk me through what you think San Francisco is going to be doing here in these couple weeks leading up.
Well, you know, as you're sitting in that room over the next 2 weeks, you're just really breaking down their film. Obviously, every coordinator for the most part has some tendencies and some things that they hang their hat on, whether that's, you know, running the ball, passing the ball, and the different runs and passes that you'll see maybe on 1st and 10 versus 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 6. And so you're just trying to figure out what does a guy really love to go to, especially in those critical downs, you know, 3rd and 6 and 7, 1st and 10, how do people start the drives? And so then as a coordinator, you're going to say, okay, well, we're going to take away on 1st and 10, they love going to Kelsey. So, okay, maybe we call something where we're going to take him away and doubling him. But then maybe on 3rd and 7 to 10, they love to go to Tyreek Hill over time. And so then you try to take away him. And then everybody else has to win their one-on-one matchup, because obviously a guy like Patrick Mahomes, if you take something away, he's going to go to the, you know, 2nd and 3rd option. And that's where it comes down to matchups. And that's why oftentimes in some of these big games like this, you'll hear of somebody that you really wasn't expecting showing out because they were able to dominate their one-on-one matches. And that's where oftentimes stars are born in the playoffs.
You know, you guys played a team like Tennessee who runs the football and wants to reduce the amount of possessions. Is there a sense of panic that sets in, even for an offense as good as Kansas City's? Is there a sense of panic that sets in when you look up in the third quarter and you've only had the ball a couple of times during the course of a game? Because that at least presents itself here if San Francisco can run as effectively as they did on Sunday.
Yeah, I would say no, because they're so explosive. And I mean, they can score 2 touchdowns, you know, in a blink of an eye. The difference with them playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, the 49ers instead of the Tennessee Titans, the Niners can be explosive as well. And so I think that may be a little bit more panicking because of who they're playing. The Titans, as I, you know, kind of go into the game and played against them a couple of times this year, was only good for, at the most, I thought, you know, before I was talking to a friend, was 24 points, and that's what they were able to give. The Niners are capable of doing way more than that and doing it at a high rate as well. And so, yeah, if the Niners are, you know, run the ball and able to score points, I think the Kansas City Chiefs may panic in a similar situation just because of who they're competing against versus the Titans, where you say, okay, they're holding on, but if we get one stop and then we score, the whole dynamic of the game changes because the Titans can't score as quickly as a team like the 49ers can.
Joe, quick one here. What do you see in Kyle Shanahan's offense? Whatever's working, they're going to keep doing that. I mean, you saw him put up damn near 50 points against New Orleans on the road. Yep. Garoppolo slinging it. Then he threw eight times in the conference title game because Mostert was just flying downhill. Yeah. What challenges does his offense bring?
You know what? You know, all the great coordinators in this league, and obviously Kyle Shanahan is one of those guys. He's been in this league a long time, really since birth because of his dad. He is going to exploit whatever you give him. So obviously he's going to come in the game with a game plan. Okay, we would love to pass the ball or run the ball and have an initial game plan. But as the game develops and things happen, or maybe a matchup, somebody's exploiting a matchup for his offense, he is willing enough and aware enough to go to that and stay with that until the opposing defense can stop it, because there's really no reason to change if you can find something out. So I think that's where he's grown the most in, where you have a lot of young guys saying, oh, well, this is my game plan, I'm sticking to this. And they don't realize that maybe somebody's, you know, balling out and exploiting a matchup that they didn't anticipate, or just the trajectory of the game, for whatever reason, that team may not be playing the run as well. But, no, I love passing the ball, so I'm going to still pass the ball 40, 50 times. But if you run it, you're going to be even more impactful. And it's all about winning the game at the end of the day. And I think through his time in the NFL and, you know, just maturing as a coordinator and now a head coach, he has realized how to do that within a game, because sometimes that's hard to kind of feel the game as it's happening. And he's definitely developed that characteristic trait, and that's why his offense has really been dominant in the playoffs.
Lorenzo, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, anytime, brother.
We'll see you, buddy. Thanks so much. There he goes, Lorenzo Alexander, one of everybody's favorite guys. You will not meet somebody that says a bad word about that dude, except maybe somebody that he hit really hard at the bottom of a pile one time. But even then, it was a clean hit, and I'm sure he, like, asked him how his family was.
Yep, great dude on and off the field, and the world is going to be his oyster to choose here now that he's headed into
100%,
retirement.
100%. He's the best. You're going to laugh at the question, and that's fine. What do these Super Bowl teams have that the Redskins don't? What do these teams that are going to the Super Bowl have that the Redskins don't have? What do the Redskins need to be like them? I got a couple ideas. I'm telling you, it's not as far away as you would think. Nobody's predicting anything. Just calm down and relax. No one's predicting anything. Simply saying, it's not that far removed from them being a team that's kind of like this. I don't know, one of those good ones that we've heard so much about. We'll do that next. 800-636-1067. What do the Redskins need that these Super Bowl teams have? It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. New year, new you. What's up, Danny Ruya, for my friends at Ted Burt Ford. Why not add to that new you, right? How about a new Ford from Ted Burt Ford? Your F-150 HQ in Fairfax and Chantilla. Drive a new 2019 Ford F-150 from Ted Burt Ford and get up to, I'm going to say this number very clearly, $15,000 below MSRP, plus no payments for 60 days. Or choose. You can choose. The choice is yours, Black Sheep. You can choose a 2019 Ford F-240 SD and enjoy up to $13,900 off the MSRP. How about a Ford Ranger truck, $8,000 below MSRP? 2019 Mustang, up to $9,000 off the MSRP on all those cars, trucks, and SUVs I just mentioned, right? No payments for 60 days as well, because Tempered Ford's been in business for, 60 years. So they give you 60 days. They couldn't give you 60 years. That probably wouldn't work. I mean, that's a lot of delayed gratification. They'll just give you a couple months, though, out of the goodness of their hearts. You got to go see my guys at Ted Burt Ford, Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at TedBurt.com. When you go, just do me a favor. Tell them they sent you. I just want to be clear about something. Nobody's telling you the Redskins are like a player away from being a Super Bowl team.
Hashtag HTTR, right. Yeah!
There are outlets for that.
Tiffany, yeah!
There are dudes that like have anonymous Twitter handles that claim to break news all the time that aren't affiliated with a media outlet who probably have a podcast. You can find that. That's not what we're doing, okay? Welcome back to the show. It's Grant Danny on The Fan. Pete is in for GP.
Hi.
I'm Danny, all right? Tweet me at FunnyDanny, Pete at Pete Matters. Here's what we're saying. The Redskins are trying to build a football team, right? Ron Rivera is here, and everybody who is friends with Ron Rivera is here. If you worked with Ron Rivera in Carolina, congratulations. You work with him in D.C. now, all right?
Fantastic.
We're bringing the, pick them up, bringing the band back together, putting a show on.
Okay? Excited. They went 15-1 1 year. Yes.
Here's the point. There are shopping lists. You're going to start formulating your roster, right? Everybody knows the Redskins are going to take Chase Young at number two. They should trade back. Science has proven that, but they won't. They're going to take Chase Young because it's safe and easy. And Neanderthals are still in charge, and people are going to say, you can't pay so an elite talent. Yes, you can. You can get more picks and have a better chance at winning. Science says that. But people are going to ignore that, and they're going to take Chase Young. Just keep in mind, as it happens, I'm correct. But let's move forward. What pieces do they need to be like some of these teams? What pieces do they need to be one of the last teams standing? Pete, I know they need a new owner. I've known they needed a GM forever. Forget about that stuff. On the field, now, what are they missing?
Are we just we're just comparing Niners, Redskins, or because the Chiefs have parts that the Redskins can't even imagine having right now. That's not even comparable.
Take it however you want. In other words,
I did a comparison with the Niners.
Put a shopping list together and do whatever
you want. I did a comparison with the Niners. Niners are demonstrably better in every category but running back and wide receiver. Period. Everything else is edge 49ers. Offensive line, quarterback, tight end, defensive line, linebacker, secondary. All Niners.
Well, of course they're better. They're better everywhere, and they should be. They're going to the Super Bowl. The Redskins are 3-13. Here's what I'm saying. You start looking at what these teams have in common. Yeah, they're built differently, right? The Niners have this incredible defense. Offense is a chameleon. You look at Kansas City, amazing offense, a defense that's finally fine. It's not great, but it's fine. And when you make a team one-dimensional by scoring every time you have the football, you make them turn into one thing, and then you can start stopping people, right? It's like those Colts teams with Peyton Manning. You were in a tight game. You could run the ball on them. They didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care. Eventually, they're going to get a lead. Here comes Freeney. Here comes Mathis. We're getting upfield. We're going to sack it. That was how they were designed. That's how Kansas City kind of reminds me of. You put a shopping list together. You can be an offensive team like Kansas City. You can be a defensive team like San Francisco. Whatever works, right? Here's my shopping list. Both teams have this. The Redskins need it. And I am now of the belief this is their number one thing that they need. Might be a little bit of a hot take here. You might have to get, we need like an alarm bell or something, Tom, for like when a take starts to get too hot, where like we hear like somebody touch a pot, it's too hot, or like the crackling of a fire, or like a tea kettle whistling, whatever we want to do. I think this is their number one need.
What do you got?
A tight end. A tight end. I'm over the tight end who can do one but not the other. I love Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed, when he was healthy, could catch the football. Jordan Reed, I got news for you guys, was a slot receiver. Jordan Reed was a piss-poor blocker. Again, I'm not trying to run the man down. He was an excellent receiver as a tight end. Both of these guys, Kittle especially, you don't know what's coming when they're in the game. When Jeremy Sprinkle's in the game with another offensive lineman, spoiler alert, it's a run. It's going to be crappy on first down for 1 yard, and they'll be in second and nine. When George Kittle's in the game, he might be mauling a safety, a linebacker 15 yards down the field out of bounds, or he might be running by your butt. They need one of those guys. And Kelce, not a world-class blocker, the best receiving tight end in the sport right now, but also, I would say, even average or above average as a blocker, allows them to do what they want to do on offense. They need a dynamic tight end now. They needed one to start this year. They had the most expensive tight end position in the league and got the least amount of production from it. They needed to upgrade this year and didn't. Vernon Davis, God bless him. He looks amazing. He'll be chiseled. He'll have abs up to his eyeballs when he's 75. He was not good at this. They have needed this for years, and I think they need it now more than ever. Your thoughts?
Yes, they need a tight end, but I don't think they need a tight end as bad as they need a corner, which is why if they traded down a couple of spots and ended up taking Okuda from Ohio State.
That guy's awesome.
And then had another first-round pick, depending on what the package was that you were offered. Because, look, to get to number two, you got to make somebody pay for it. Don't just make a deal because, oh, they'll get an extra one and we'll get our two that we don't have back. That's a good deal. No, make someone pay a king's ransom to come up to two, whether they want Young, whether they want Tua, whether they want something else. Who knows what a team? A team might want Andre Thomas, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. But if somehow I could finagle my way into a first round that gave me Okuda and Thomas, the offensive tackle and the corner at Ohio State and the offensive tackle out of Georgia, I would run cards to the podium quickly if both those guys were on the board with the picks because I want somebody to pay a ransom to come up to number two. The Dolphins clearly covet Tua Tagovailoa. They've made no bones about it publicly. They covet Tua. Okay, you want Tua? Come on up to number two with a significant package and let's talk.
You stole my second one because you're right on. They need an outstanding secondary. Both these teams are excellent in the secondary. Mm-hmm. San Francisco especially so. Now, you hit the lottery when you got Richard Sherman, right? You're thinking, okay, maybe you get a year or two of him wanting revenge against Seattle for getting cast aside. He played maybe his best football ever this year. He was outstanding. Kansas City has a guy named Breshad Breeland. Is that name familiar to anybody? Yeah. He was here. They couldn't quite figure it out. He was a pain, clashed with the coaches. Scott McLuhan got some pretty good stuff out of him. Bruce Allen didn't like that Scott McLuhan helped him. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. Tyrann Mathieu is incredible for Kansas City. As dynamic a playmaker as you'll find in the secondary, near, far, everything in between. You can't just call him a safety because he's more than that. He's a linebacker sometimes. He's a cornerback sometimes. He does everything for them. That's when they got their boost. Defensive line in Kansas City got themselves a better bunch of homegrown guys. Again, very similar to Washington. Very similar. You add in Frank Clark, who I can't remember if they traded for Frank Clark or not, but they picked him up. But then it's a bunch of guys that they acquired and drafted. Jones and Okafor and company. I guess Okafor came from the Cardinals, but you see my point. They built their guys up. You add in a couple members of the secondary that are dynamic, that can make some plays. You make teams one-dimensional. Those guys are that much better. San Francisco's secondary is outstanding. Kansas City's secondary is pretty damn good. The Redskins are a long way from that. A long way. We're waiting on Monte Nicholson to sort of figure it out. It's a cast of rotating characters at the other safety spot. Cornerbacks, I've heard a lot about Quentin Dunbar. He plays 3 weeks, then has some sort of thing in his leg, and then doesn't play for six. When he does play, I guess he's fine. Norman has stunk for years, and now we're just kind of realizing it. They need a major upgrade in the defensive backfield.
No, that's what and there's no doubt about it. You mentioned, Danny, you can have a good pass rush, but if guys are open and I can get the ball out quickly, I can still make plays against you no matter how good your pass rush is. You may get to me a couple of times during the course of the game, but I'm going to make big plays against you because I'm going to call plays. You're going to get the ball out quicker, and your guys are not going to be able to cover my people off the line. Problem two, by the way, for tight end, this is one of those few years where there's not that guy maybe available in the first round. You may end up with a guy because you don't have a second-round pick right now. Mm-hmm. Down in the third round or the fourth round, you're not going to get the kind of guy like a George Kittle, a Font, somebody like that in the draft that's going to play at that particular level. So you may have to go to like an Austin Hooper on the free agent market, somebody like that, which it's not a superstar at the position, but it is an upgrade from what you have right now. And that was clearly something that was missing for Dwayne Haskins. That's why, more often than not, Terry McLaurin's the first look all the time, because that was his security blanket out there, because he didn't have one really in the middle of the field to be able to throw the football to.
You gave a little teaser as to what some of my other shopping list items are. I'm telling you, the Redskins have a lot in common in terms of their roster right now with both of these teams. They need some upgrades, though, and that's what we're talking about. 800-636-1067. Beltway Blitz at noon. Your call's next. What do the Redskins need to be like these teams that are playing for the Super Bowl? We're just over 10 minutes away from a double play here on Grant and Danny. Pete is in for GP. Beltway Blitz at noon. We'll spin you around. What's going on with all the teams in the DMV that you care about? Craig Lachlan joins the show at 12:45. Question of the moment, Pete. You and I are throwing the ball back and forth, so to speak. Super Bowl teams are set, right? You can look at the conference final teams. Eon's better than the Redskins. They're picking second in the draft, not because they're close, okay? Despite what Bruce Allen told you for all those years about how close they were close to their ceiling with a bunch of veterans. They're screwed because they still got Alex Smith on the salary cap, on the books, okay? They are. They're screwed. You cannot win next year when you have $21 million just not playing for you at any point. They couldn't win this year when you add in Trent Williams, when you add in Jordan Reed. It's basically $40 million.
Not then playing for you.
Then you add in Vernon Davis, even more. $45 million. It's a quarter of your salary cap not playing for you. You had no chance. And they refused to acknowledge that. That was the case going into the season. Jay Gruden was going to get fired. Going into the season, this was all going to happen. They were going to be bad this year and refused to acknowledge it. What they should have done was figured that out beforehand. That's why you trade Trent Williams. That's why you maybe take a huge cap hit in one given year to move on from Alex Smith, and then you could be free in a couple seasons. They didn't want to do that, though. They just tried to keep limping along, convincing themselves that they're fine, because facing the acknowledgement they weren't going to be any good means that somebody screwed up somewhere along the line. I digress, though. They've got some pieces. You've got reason, if you're a Redskins fan, to kind of circle this. Ron Rivera did. You circle a couple names on that depth chart. You remember in Friday Night Lights when Billy Bob Thornton, damn it, he's got that wall, right? And he's taking guys off after the state title game and moving guys up. They've got that same thing everywhere. Every football program has that.
Yep.
You walk into that room and you start circling a couple names. You start circling the names of the defensive linemen. You start circling Tim Settle as a nice rotational piece. You start circling maybe Reuben Foster's back. You start circling, Dwayne Haskins and maybe Darius Geis or maybe Bryce Love that you like. You circle Terry McLaurin's name. There's some pieces there that are worth developing and building for the first time, I would say, in a while. You start adding to it, it's not crazy that you could be a lot better in 2 years than you are right now. Again, San Francisco is the prime example. They looked a lot like the Redskins did a couple seasons ago. They had a derailment when their quarterback got injured, but now here they are, this core that has come up together. You added Nick Bosa to it. You got a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo. You've got a running game that's dominant. You had Richard Sherman, a couple free agent pieces, yada, yada, yada. You're the best team in the NFL probably, and you're in the Super Bowl.
Look, there's an opportunity to at least go forward next year. How forward that is, it could be something as simple as 6 wins, maybe tops at 7, and you feel better about the direction of where the team is going, because I still feel that Dallas and Philadelphia playing at max capacity are still significantly better in terms of the overall talent level than what the Redskins have. The Redskins have to catch up in terms of overall talent level, and obviously now for Dallas, we'll see what the coaching change does down there to see if those guys can max out the ability that they have. But you can still feel like you're going in a positive direction, even if you only win 6 or 7 games. It's how you get to it next year. You can be competitive in a lot more games because, by the way, if you haven't looked next year, the schedule's pretty tough. I'm just going to indicate that to you. If teams come back anywhere close to what you think they're going to be, it's a brutal schedule next year. So from that standpoint, you know, 6 or 7 wins against that schedule may look a lot better than, you know, 8 or 9 wins against a poor schedule in terms of what you have, maybe fool's gold going forward. But, yes, I do believe it's going to take 2 full drafts coming up here for Ron Rivera and Kyle Smith to completely rebuild this roster, and a class of free agency where, you know, not necessarily this offseason, but maybe the following offseason where you can spend a little bit more money. But there's no reason why in 2 years you can't be competing for a playoff spot because of the young nucleus of people that exist on the roster that you'll have team control of at least for 2 more years.
And, Pete, I think this coming year, I think it's not crazy that they could compete for a playoff spot. I don't think they'll get it. But, I mean, I think they could be in the hunt in early December if things break correctly.
Got to see the roster first.
Of course we're premature
here. I got to see where they go.
Of course
we're premature. Got to see where they go.
Yeah. Here's the last thing, and this is what we've gone over, and add to this list already, okay? Mm-hmm. I think they need a world-class tight end, where you don't know if it's a run play or a pass play, but just based on him being in the game. You knew under Jay Gruden, when one of those guys, their rotational pieces of tight ends, were in the game, there was a tell. And if it was a run and Jordan Reed was in the game, that run was going to get blown up because he stinks at blocking. They need a defensive backfield upgrade, a major injection of talent. That's at least a safety and at least a cornerback that's high level. Other additions that you've got?
Corner.
Before I get to my next corner, so that's this
corner,
defensive
definitely.
Backfield.
Certainly tight end, but again, I don't think you're going to be able to get that guy, that player, that great player, that George Kittle player.
Fifth rounder.
I don't think that player exists that early in the draft. You're going to have to maybe catch lightning in a bottle, hope that a guy, you know, you can coach him.
A Hooper or somebody like that.
Go Hooper to free agent. It's certainly an upgrade at the position. Then you touched on it a little bit earlier. There's no guarantee Reuben Foster, based on what we just read about him, just getting feeling back in his toes, I mean, that doesn't sound like a guy to me that's going to be ready to get out there in OTAs and give it another go for the upcoming season. I'm not saying you can't win games with Bostic and Holcomb, depending on what you are going to do. If you're going to go 4-3 where you only got one of those guys on the field, you can win games with players like that, but they're going to be dependent on the other people around them to performing at max capacity to make that happen. If a great middle linebacker somehow drops to you in the draft, somewhere, I wouldn't be opposed to taking a middle linebacker, especially if the medicals on Foster don't really pick up here, because that's kind of scary when you don't only have feeling in your toes and it's almost February. I'm a little scared by that, but I think corner is number one priority right now for this team.
So here's my number three on this list. Now, one of the teams has this, but I argue both teams have it, and it comes in a slightly different way. A wide receiver that scares the hell out of you. I like Terry McLaurin. People need to calm down about Terry McLaurin. This is a good player. He's going to be good. He would be the number two on a lot of really good offenses. He'll be the number one here.
Keep in mind, somebody has to make plays on a team.
He
was the best playmaker available on this team, but you could make it better with another guy around.
And I am not, again, this is going to sound like I'm running him down. I'm not. He is good. He will be good. I like it. It's exciting. It's good. Terry McLaurin worked out great, and that is a win for this organization, for the front office, et cetera, okay? I'm talking about Tyreek Hill. And in San Francisco's case, I'm talking about Deebo Samuel, a guy that can do a million different things, and they figured it out the second half of the season and let Samuel run wild. They're running him on reverses. They're running him on jet sweeps. He's breaking tackles. He's thumping dudes. He's like a running back when once he gets the ball. He can go down the field. He's dynamic. They need what they thought Paul Richardson was going to be. They need that. They need a deep threat. They need an easy button where if you don't defend it, it's a touchdown. And if you do defend it, now you're tight end. Now you're McLaurin. Now your quarterback can make a whole bunch more plays simply because of what happened. I was wrong about DeSean Jackson years ago. I didn't want that guy. I didn't want his attitude here. You know what I saw? An offense that was just different when he's there. Even those games where it's only two catches for 21 yards, he doesn't really do very much. The idea of DeSean Jackson scares the pants off of people. They don't want to be on the highlights.
He freezes your safeties at the start of every play because you have to figure out what he's doing on the play first.
Absolutely.
Before as a safety, you can come running up to participate in run stoppage or something like that. I mean, that's the first thing you have to identify on every play. Unless you have the lockdown corner who can run 4-3 just like DeSean does, which is very rare in this game.
Not many guys are doing that.
Your safeties are locked up until they figure out what he's doing on each particular play, which is why having that asset is so valuable on your franchise, in your franchise.
You're a Redskins fan. You're listening to this program. Close your eyes for a second. Think back over years, different defensive coordinators, different systems, different schemes, different designs. It's third and six. Your corners are lined up 12 yards off the football. Drives you insane, doesn't it? Make a catch, easy first down. You're going, why are they, what's the cushion? What's the point? Why are they doing this? It's because guys are scared to get beat deep. No one will talk about it, okay? There's no highlight show where they go, there's a 7-yard hitch route for a first down. That doesn't get played over and over and over and over again. You know what gets played? 80-yard touchdowns, 70-yard touchdowns, bombs where you're trailing. People don't want to get exposed. The Redskins need that. That's my list. Double play coming up 5 minutes away here on The Fan. Beltway Blitz at high noon. Pete is in for GP. It's Grant and Danny. Stay with us. Like what's going on in our lives has nothing to do with sports.
Two things, Danny. I went to the mall yesterday for the first time in a while. Annapolis Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Went there with my 11-year-old, and all of a sudden, you know, we go to our favorite food place where we had a gift card. So she goes, Dad, it was really crowded. She goes, Dad, I'm going to go find a seat.
Uh-huh.
So she texts me, she goes, I'm sitting in the rotunda. And I'm sitting here going, the rotunda? At a mall? What are we talking about? How distinguished all of a sudden is my 11-year-old that she knows the word rotunda in the first place? Because when I think of rotunda, I think of the U.S. Capitol. Well, guess what? She'd been to the U.S. Capitol as part of a Girl Scout trip, so she knew what a rotunda looked like. And the middle section of the food court that they had redecorated now indeed did look like a rotunda. So I go and we sit in the rotunda for food yesterday.
A rotunda is any building with a circular ground plan and sometimes covered by a dome.
Yes.
It can also refer to a round room within a building. The Pantheon in Rome is a famous rotunda, as is the U.S. Capitol.
And thus, when you looked up where we were sitting, indeed, it matched
the
description.
How about it?
So I give her a lot of credit for that. And then 34 degrees outside yesterday, and you as a former baseball player can appreciate, she wants to go outside. She's like, Dad, can we go out and hit?
Mm-hmm.
Outside, windy. You know, a little windy outside. So sure enough, Dad went out, bit the bullet, and did it. So it was a good day off yesterday. And by the way, shout out to my man Kevin Durant's father, Wayne Pratt, B-Ball Pop on Twitter. Tremendous weekend at the St. James.
Oh, yeah.
They brought in some of the great high school talent around the country. games on Saturday, games on Monday, but more importantly, on Sunday during the off day, took the players to the Martin Luther King Memorial and to the Museum of African American History. So they made it more than just about basketball. And I do believe the further and further away we get away from Dr. King's assassination, and, you know, depending on what our history books tell us and what our curriculum teaches us in our public schools and in our schools, period, these days, I think it's important that these young people get exposed to that with a chance to reach out and touch, you know, the situation in the museum and obviously at the MLK Memorial, because it gives those young people a chance to be hands-on and see what that was all about. And they made it more than just basketball. It was the first annual.
That's cool.
They will do it many more years. It's a great use of what the St. James has over there in terms of its resources. And shout out to Wayne Pratt and all the guys with Kevin Durant's MLK Classic this past weekend.
Very, very cool. Time for mine, Tommy. So you've got the kids a little bit older, Pete. I've got the young kids, right, age six and then turning two in March. Days where those kids don't have school, where kids don't have school and there's no work, are awful. They suck. They're terrible. Every parent knows exactly what I'm talking about. You realize it, like, Sunday night at 11:30 when you're on your way to bed, you're like, oh, my God, they're going to be – it's cold outside. There's nothing – we have nothing for them to do. They're going to eat us alive. It's terrible. So you do what we did as parents, and you make up a trip for no reason. You just make up something that's going to take hours and hours and hours of time. Our decision yesterday, we went to Percival, Virginia. We just drove from Northwest Washington, D.C., where we live purposely, right? We live there because everything is right there. You pay more than you pay further out. We're aware of the trade-offs. You live in D.C. because you have so much to do. We just said, we're not going to do anything in D.C. because we have to take up more time. Let's get in the car. We're going to Luckett's first, right? So we go to Luckett's so my wife can look at some furniture at this place that has furniture. We're not getting any furniture. We're just looking around. I'm in the car with my sleeping, it's not an infant, it's a toddler at this point. Sleeping toddler. Great, no problem. I'm happy to do it. Just checking my cellular phone. Then we get in the car. He's still asleep, so we got to kill more hours. So we drove to Percival, and we ate at the Percival Family Restaurant. A special thank you to the folks at the Percival Family Restaurant. Here's why I'm thanking them. Number one, service, food was great. Everything about it's awesome. It is as old school as they come, Pete. It is unpretentious, not fancy, delicious greasy spoon diner. One of those places that you hope stands the test of time forever, right? Here's why it was so special. I called them, say, hey, make sure you guys are open today because a lot of businesses are closed. Drives the MLK holiday, rightfully so. And they said, yep, we're open until 2. So we get there and we're getting ready to eat lunch. We're going to, you know, our kids are making so much noise. They're running around. They're screaming by like the grabber. You know, it's got one of those
claw machines.
Yeah, the claw machines that are rigged. No one could ever win. Even though my son won yesterday, by the way, which is incredible. He got a stuffed bunny and it was the greatest achievement of all time. But they're making so much noise. They're bothering other patrons, whatever. And they were so patient. They were so nice. Here's why I thank them. I'm all set to order lunch. Lunch. It's fine. It's lunch. Everybody eats lunch. I'm informed, you know, I can get you a breakfast menu. We were supposed to have stopped serving breakfast a little bit ago, but we can make an exception for breakfast food. So you know what I do, of course, is I order breakfast food because breakfast food is superior to all the other kinds of food that you can have.
100% agreement.
It's so much more delicious. Yes. I went from a patty melt to pancakes. The upgrade from patty melt to pancakes, I also got, by the way, some home fries with gravy right on top of them and some scrapple for that ass. Oh, it was delicious. Everything about it was spectacular. So we went from just a lunch to a late breakfast at 1:30 p.m.
About that.
And they were so nice to let
customer
us do
service,
it.
Hoss.
And the fact that they let us do it, I was like, whatever the tip is, double it. Just keep all this money. Thank you. They were so patient. We left a chalk outline of gross food on the ground because my kids were hysterical. They wouldn't sit down and eat. My oldest son just wanted cereal at first, and then he got jealous of everyone else's food, so he ordered something else, even more breakfasty, and it was at like 1:57 as they're closing the place down, and they did it, and they were so nice and great. I hope the Percival Family Restaurant thrives forever. If I can invest in it, it wouldn't be a great investment, but I would. I want to buy steak in it. I love you, people. I love you. Percival Family Restaurant, heavy buy recommendation from your boy. If you're in the area, stop by and see them. Don't tell them anything about me. They won't care about me. You could just say, hey, there was a jackass in here with two screaming kids on MLK Day that you let him have breakfast after 1:30, and he says thank you. Now, may I please be seated? I love that place.
Love customer service, man. You give me customer service, I am very likely to come back and support your establishment again. It's simple. Just be courteous.
Yes.
Be glad. Just care that I'm there. I don't care how great the food is sometimes. Just care. If you're the server, this is a message to all servers out there. Just care that I'm there.
Tom, okay? Did you just pull a picture up of the personal family restaurant? You see what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's like what Cracker Barrel aspires to be. It's like the original version of
If
that.
You go to any small town, there's one of those. Like, you know where they were like Scuba, Mississippi, where they filmed the show that we all loved on Netflix? Last Chance You, the first couple? Mm-hmm. That's got a place like this. Every cool little town in America has a place just like this. You know, the Greasy Spoon, run by really nice people.
So I love about going to all the Patriot League schools that I go to in the wintertime. I eat at a lot of those type places just because it's so cool.
So thank you again.
Local yokels are always the best.
Percival Family Restaurant. Three cheers for you.
Hip hip right. Hip hip right.
Belly Blitz time. 12:01 next from the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.